Welcome, everybody, to the Hidden Guardians podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. It is myself, Venj, again this week, running solo, which is okay, because it was a very light week this week. Probably going to be a somewhat short episode, but I guess we can say this is the episode about Guardian Games after week one. So, topics for this week, Guardian Games Class Leaderboard Update, Guardian Games Update in the D2 Companion App, Bungie Rewards, Guardian Games Cup Prizing, Raven's Wishes Final Quest, Weekly Bright Dust, and Out the Airlock Emblem. Alright, so we're a few days into Guardian Games, and we're off to a strong start. We've got skimmers zipping around, medallions being banked, and the warm, gentle smile of Eva greeting us at the tower. But best of all, we've got a fierce competition brewing. If you haven't had a chance to visit the tower and check out the crests, don't worry, we have an update on where things currently stand. So full standings, and I guess this was on Thursday, so it is just reset day and Wednesday. But the first 2 days, Hunters won both days, Warlocks took second, Titans took third, and that is the exact standing for the first 2 days. It seems like Hunters are wasting no time. They have already jumped out into an early lead, but this event has just started, and there is still plenty of time to show what your class is made of. As we said last week, Diamond Medallions are a game changer this year, and we may see some major shifts as Guardians start banking those to turn tides later on. So keep at it, Guardians. To stay updated on class progress, visit the tower and see which class won each day by viewing the crests at the adorn the platform. We'll also be back next week with another update and recap. And for those that either haven't jumped in or didn't listen last week, Diamond Medallions are a new addition this year. I don't know how much actual progress they give, but you can only earn 3 of them a week. They are guaranteed to drop the Guardian Games Memento, which after looking at it more with what I've seen on other streams and stuff, a lot of it is like blue, red, and black. There are some weapons that it looks really, really cool on, I think, and there are some where, I mean, you know, just like other shaders, not everything's going to look good on everything. But the way to get those is there's a Twitch drop one where if you watch any Destiny 2 stream, I'm pretty sure it's anybody. I don't think they just gave drops to certain people. If you watch a Destiny 2 stream for 2 hours and your Twitch is linked to your Bungie account, that's one way to get one. The second one is, as far as I know, because I didn't actually look at these, the PvE one is to run a raid with all the same class, which I guess kind of fits the whole Guardian Games thing. But it could also probably be a huge pain in the ass to try and find 5 other, you know, Hunters, Warlocks, or Titans that want to do the same thing. I do not know what the PvP one is. I did not do any Supremacy. I did not do any PvP this week. So that's where we're at with that. Collect contender cards in the D2 app. In addition to the updates we've made to Guardian Games this year, we've also added a new way you can interact with the event in the D2 Companion app. You can now acquire Guardian Game contender cards, platinum cards, and diamond cards directly from the app, similar to how you do with bounties. Which, anything to make it a little easier to not have to go back and forth to tower is always a win. The Bungie rewards. We can see you, Guardians. You're out there working hard for your class, wrecking that beautiful Guardian Games All-Star Memento, and generally just feeling like champs, as you should. And when you're feeling like a champ, you want to look like a champ, right? Well, say no more. You can be styling in no time with the Bungie Rewards Guardian Games Collector's Medal. And it kind of just, it looks like a crest that has each of the class logos, the Hunter Snake, the the Titan lion thing, and the warlock, like the bird, the phoenix. Players who have completed the gold event challenge during Guardian Games by March 26th will be eligible to order the medal between March 5th and April 30th. For full details on this offer, visit the Bungie Rewards store. All right, and into some Guardian Games Cup prizing, and that is the teams that are participating for either charity or the technical category. For the top prizes. This year, Guardian Games Cup hovers to new heights. Earlier this week, we kicked off a brand new addition to the team-based competition that allows you to compete alongside your favorite fire team in two possible categories. The technical category tracks each officially registered team's total number of medallions dunked during Guardian Games All-Stars, and the charitable category tracks the total amount raised through the team's official Bungie Foundation sign-up page throughout the same period. Top four teams in each category will be award prizes, and today we want to share a glimpse of the amazing prize the top team in each category will be taking home, a life-size physical all-star vector skimmer replica with the team's names engraved, one per team per category. It's a little hard to see how big this thing is, but it's huge. let's see. Riven's Wishes Final Quest. This week, Mara offers her final quest for the Riven's Wishes, and it's one you won't want to miss because it awards two wish tokens upon completion. That's two red border last wish weapons or two exotic pieces of armor or two... Well, you get the picture. If you're starting late or just going at your own pace, don't worry. The Riven's Wishes quest will be available for completion up until the release of the final shape. If you've already completed quests and have been holding on to your wish tokens, those will go away when the event ends. Sorry, so make sure you spend them before the final shape to get the goodies you're due. We still have, I think, just under 3 months because it's June 4th. So we're down to just under 3 months before final shape. So I can tell you personally, I think I've done one of them, and it was week one, and I haven't done any since, so there's plenty of time to actually get these taken care of, and if you're looking for, Apex Predator, I think that's the name of the rocket, I'll be honest, I don't fully remember. That's a pretty hot one, just because, like, Reconstruction, Bipod, there's a couple really good perk combos on this that are really super strong for DPS. That's kind of where I'm leaning when I do these, is probably going to go for that. But I've also heard really good things about Tyranny of Heaven and who knows what the meta shift is going to look like in Final Shape or what could change. So I don't know. Still options to go through. I know personally for me, it would either be the rocket or Tyranny of Heaven, the bow. I know not everybody likes bows in PvE, but I think especially with this season, with Solar being able to cause Scorch to enemies that aren't already Scorched, there's a couple different combos of perks on the bow that are also really good. And I don't mind bows. Okay, throw it out the airlock. Look the part and join the N7 Special Forces with the new Out the Airlock emblem, now live for all players. I have never played a Mass Effect game. I don't know exactly what I'm looking at. I know that I... When this was released, it might have been Tuesday. I immediately redeemed it because I like emblems, even though I wear the same like two. But I think it's a pretty neat looking emblem. I know the N7 is a big Mass Effect thing. That's really about it. I think it looks cool. Yeah, And if anybody listening just wants the code and they don't want to have to look this up and then go to the redeem, I'll tell you the code right now. It's L3PXXRGJ4. And I think you just need to go to bungie.net/redeem and get signed into your account. And there you go. You have the lovely new Mass Effect Out the Airlock themed emblem. Weekly Bright Dust, in the absence of new seasonal challenges during this extended season, we're offering another way for Guardians to acquire Bright Dust starting this week. Players can visit the Eververse store to claim 700 Bright Dust each week leading up to the launch of Final Shape. Each deposit is only there for 1 week, so head on over today, pick yours up, and get spending. So even if you're kind of taking a break until Final Shape, I do think it's worth doing this because... what is that? 12. Let's do some quick maths. That's 8,400 Bright Dust you can earn between now and Final Shape. And given how hard it can be to like actually really earn up to a certain amount because, you know, you're limited on the season pass. Although the season pass stuff, it gives you like either 10,000 or like closer to 12,000. I can't remember. I've done the math before. But beyond that, you get like, you know, 600 per week per character, I suppose. If you're doing the challenges and Crucible, Vanguard, and Gambit. But beyond that, the only way you're earning it is through the repeat bounties, which give you 10 Bright Dust at a time. So if you're looking to earn up some more Bright Dust, I would make sure you log in each week, at least for that, if you're able to. Because who knows, there could be some really neat cosmetic stuff that comes out in Final Shape. And it's either going to be all only for Bright Dust, or it's going to rotate between Silver and Bright Dust. And I foresee some good stuff coming. I don't know why, but I will be making sure that I go through and get all my stuff each week, even though I'm not playing a ton of Destiny at the moment. Let's see. I'll just go over a couple of player privacy and safety updates. I guess it's actually a single one. This is going to affect everybody, so in our ongoing efforts to promote player privacy and safety online, Destiny 2 will require date of birth information for players starting on March 12th, which is going to be reset day this coming week. I guess that's, I don't know, you might be listening to this on reset day. I'm recording 2 days before, so. When players log in, those who haven't updated their birth date on Bungie.net will be met with a birth date screen before they can access Destiny 2. This is a one-time account request, only mandatory for all players before they can enter the game. Keep an eye out for updates in our date of birth requirements article for more information regarding parental controls, answers to commonly asked questions, and more. I don't know if that's going to upset people. I don't know. It is what it is. If it can help player safety, then that's good. I'm sure there's going to be some outcries from people, but I think even when you create your Bungie.net account, you have to put your birth date in. It's been a long time since I've made mine, so I couldn't tell you that for sure. And that really covers up the TWAB. I can give a little bit of feedback, or I guess thoughts, not necessarily feedback, on Guardian Games after week one. I will say, I didn't do any PvP, so I don't know what supremacy feels like. I know initially there was some, I don't know if it was matchmaking problems or what, but there was something right as the event started that I'm pretty sure they got turned around pretty quick. So it sounds like that was taken care of. I don't think I've heard anything bad about Supremacy. I'm sure there are still the same issues we have whenever this game mode is out. Like even back to Vanilla D2 when it was a pretty big thing and it was just hard to pick up the crests sometimes, which I can't remember if they're actual crests in the Guardian games or if they're like motes. But that's a problem I don't know if I ever see going away. There being like a little bit of a pain point with picking up those and maybe having to run over them two or three times just because it's not registering one way or the other. But I have not actually seen anything really good or bad about Supremacy. It sounds like overall people are pretty pleased after week one with the PvP changes. And, you know, that obviously affects Supremacy too for Guardian games. As for the Nightfalls, what I know this week, and I kind of hope it's not the same throughout the next 2 weeks, because I guess it's a 3 week event. This week we had Inverted Spire and the Glassway. I think I only did this one day because I this week was a little busy for me. But I know it switched between every other day, like every day. Like Tuesday reset, it was Inverted Spire, Wednesday Glassway, Thursday Inverted Spire, at just back and forth. So I don't know if it's going to be the same two Nightfalls for the event over the next 2 weeks. Like I said, I kind of hope it changes. And I don't know if the top 10% changes daily because the Nightfall changes, or if that continues to go up. For anybody that is wanting the All-Star Vector permanently, you can get it by getting a top 10% score in Nightfalls, or you can do basically a little bit of everything. And it's something with banking medals will also get you there. But the Nightfall, if you're able to get top 10%, is, you know, it could be a one-time go. It could be 25 minutes. And if that's all you wanted was the skimmer, then you're done with the event. But as for scoring on the Nightfall, I know that, and it feels like this is a weird problem with these kind of events and scoring, but basically the way to get top 10% with what I've seen, because I don't have top 10%, I only ran, it may have even just been one Nightfall. It was just a week. But two things I've heard is it's either recommended to go in completely solo and obviously killing every enemy, not skipping any areas. And just like the other scoring, it's really good to have sprees with like a weapon type. So I think I watched Esoteric, you know, who's not actually a human. His recommendation for at least the Inverted Spire, I don't know if it translates very well into the Glassway because of some of the transversal spots, but using Trinity Ghoul, because with every enemy, unless you're killing, you know, like a gladiator or an orange bar or something, you're basically guaranteed to get a kill, especially with the chain lightning. And that's a really good way and a quick way to earn the spree medals. And the other thing, score-wise, is getting finishers on champions or orange bar enemies. But you can't just get a finisher. Can't remember what the medal is called. If you emote before you finish, and it should actually give a prompt like where the buffs are, which I know is also kind of frustrating because sometimes you'll have no idea because that's, you know, there's four max that can show up, and that's such a clutter on the bottom of the screen anyways. But it should tell you when you're doing something with the emote, and then if you finish, it basically like double or triples the score of getting the kill. Another thing I've heard in terms of going for that score is basically running as a three stack. Excuse me. Running in a group of three and more or less having one person designated for kills so that you're not competing for the kills and you're able to get the sprees done, get the medals. And then anybody can kill the champions or orange bars so long as you're, you know, emoting before you finish so you get that extra score. Part of that for me is always kind of frustrating in a way that it's basically every aspect of PvE, really. Excuse me, sorry. But it's always, for me, a pain point when you're always just competing for kills and everybody wants to be the one on top. And that's just frustrating. I've always had a hard time with that. Especially in these kind of events, but if you're in a team and you're willing to work together, then awesome. But it's one of those things where if you're running with a random team, you either have a chance to get paired with people that aren't going for the score and just going for completions. You know, they're not doing the emotes and finishers on champions or orange bars. And that competition for kills, nobody's getting the high tier medals. So it's a lot. I working together is not a bad thing. That's not at all what I'm saying. But it just makes it seem like going solo is almost always going to be the better option, because then it's not something you have to worry about. And if you get the score, you get the score. If you don't, then like it's only on you. But it's also harder as the week goes on, because like I said earlier, I don't know if the scores, if that top 10% score changes every day because the Nightfall switches back and forth. If it doesn't, then unless you're able to get a score on day one early after reset, you're having to work pretty hard to get that score. I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on that. Overall, with the very limited time that I've had with the event, I don't dislike it. It's definitely very samey. I have not gotten any good rolls on the weapons yet. But I did, actually, just before I started recording, I did go to the tower to make sure that I was part of the ceremony, and I, you know, Hunter's won. I just got my little reward for participating and just, you know, observing. And then I opened up chests on one side, the strike side, I suppose, which I think is technically on, like, the crucible side of the tower. And I do like that with events like this, they've made a point to kind of just randomly have masterworked weapons drop from the chest that you open. So if it ends up being a good roll, it could be, you know, you save yourself the materials. Not that masterworking weapons, especially for people that have been part of the game for a long time, it's not expensive. But it's just like an extra little boost if you get the roll that you want, knowing you can save the materials on and use it on other stuff. I have not gotten any decent rolls on the heavy grenade launcher, which is mostly what I'm going for. I do want to try and get a volt shot chain reaction. But it can also run Envious Assassin and Vorpal. And that's something that I run on a couple different fusion rifles. And I know that it's kind of a niche thing because it's a wave frame. But for bosses that are on the ground and aren't like flying around, it could end up actually being pretty good, because I do have an Envious Vorpal, which could be pretty good. I'm really interested to see how it plays with Volt Shot and Chain Reaction, because it's a heavy grenade launcher, so there's a good chance that whatever you're shooting at is just going to die anyways. And that's one thing that I did see people like, I don't know if this is a great role, because, you know, it's a heavy, So are the chances of getting both to proc are fairly low. But I still want to get it and test it, mostly because I like when things explode. Chain reaction's fun. I've Volt Shot's a really good perk for extra damage for kind of AoE around what you're shooting at. And one thing I didn't know, because I didn't get a chance to read the PvE change article, and I think that's more, a lot of that was for Final Shape, but there's some stuff that changed recently too, I think. But I think it's just chain reaction is being toned down on special grenade launchers. So, like, Forbearance could end up not being as good. I think it's going to be hard to make it, like, awful unless chain reaction is just, like, a little poof and not, like, an actual explosion, you know? So curious to see how that plays out. I want to try and get more time in this next couple weeks, especially for the skimmer, because I've heard lots of good things about the skimmer itself and some of the gameplay I've seen with it. I think it was also Esoteric, actually, that you can use the grind, like the grinding on a rail type thing, and you can cross over the entire Rainbow Road in, like, the Prophecy Dungeon. Which, I mean, it's really cool. It still does take a little bit of knowing what you're doing, because when you're using that grind, it uses the energy that you would otherwise be using, like, if you had side boost, which I don't think the skimmer does. So you can basically run it until you run out of energy, kind of keep floating forward, and then just pull out another one and keep grinding. So that's pretty cool. The skimmer itself has been a huge, like, positive for the community from what I've seen. I haven't actually had a chance to use mine yet. I've just been too busy. And the last thing I want to cover Destiny-wise is Trials, and it's just from completely a viewer standpoint and kind of seeing feedback on terms of the new card, the persistence card, I believe, and the 3v3 matchmaking, or 3 player teams, I guess, which would end up being, you know, trios playlist 3v3. I know that one of the bigger issues that was not made clear especially when I read the article last week, is the persistence card. If you lose before you have a win, it does flaw your card. And I mean, it should make sense anyways, if you're a trials player, to reset your card. One second. Sorry, I had to sneeze. But it should make sense if you lose on zero wins to just reset your card. And I just don't think that was clear. And the Destiny 2 team Twitter actually posted about it earlier. It may have actually just been sometime on Friday that it wasn't noted, but if you lose and you have zero wins, it does fly your card. Whereas if you get a win, and you could get a single win and lose 10 in a row, and it's not going to fly your card. It's just going to take you back to zero wins. But I've seen good feedback about that. It's a good way for players to, it's a good incentive to get players into trials to give it a shot. I think I've seen a couple other issues where even if you go flawless, like it doesn't let you go to the lighthouse all the time, which if you get flawless, I mean, should just be a guaranteed anyways, but that's been a very limited amount of feedback. So I don't know if that's real. I don't know if it's a very rare thing to happen. or if people are just trying to stir the pot, I don't know. Even today, it's still very common for people to just, it's cool to hate on Destiny, so who knows. As for the 3v3s, I've seen that the rewards actually feel really good in terms of playing in that threes playlist with a team of three. With, you know, you get extra rep, a higher chance at engrams after every match, which is a huge positive because trials takes a long time to, like, fully max out. And I think, what is that? Is it 15 ranks, 18 ranks? So, like, you get that many engrams and, like, that's it. So if you hit the higher levels, you could go, like, an hour or two without getting an engram. And that's just from my experience because I'm bad. And then having a couple extra chances at extra weapon drops after the match. And while I know it's not common, I have seen a couple people say that they got two engrams and two weapons from one match in the threes playlist. So that's cool. That's a positive. I think any way to provide more rewards is good. I know the persistence card and that threes extra rewards has done a good amount in week one of this change to bolster the population of trials. I don't know if it's going to be something that's strong enough for a long-term, like, population balance. Balance isn't the right word, but just... I don't know if it's going to be a Band-Aid fix or a long-term fix for the Trials population in general. I know this week might be a little bit rough, too, because I think the reward is the Scout Rifle. I don't know. I haven't actually watched anything. I've seen that the Scout Rifle is basically a... like, it's a Tex Mechanica DMT style. And Mercules also commented that if you put a, I think it's a hip fire grip mod on it, it's basically, as they put it, the DMT at home. So I'm sure there's certain people that are really thrilled about that. I personally never got into the DMT. That kind of a scout rifle just doesn't really excite me, I suppose. Yeah, I've seen good things about matchmaking, about the PvP changes overall. So hopefully it's something that can be good for the next few months before final shape. I know we have Into the Light coming next month in April, and we still don't really know what that's about. I know there's some speculation about how some... Season of the Forge weapons are going to come back because of ornaments being options in the store. I know the big one for a lot of people is like Hammerhead. It sounds like the Recluse ornament came back to the shop. And that's a very weird one to me because I don't think they would ever bring the Recluse back unless they're going to bring back like... you know, a random roll version that doesn't have Master of Arms or whatever. I don't know. I think there's a lot of coping going on. But who knows? I feel like in a lot of ways I cope just the same. So I think that's all I have for Destiny. I will hopefully be able to play a little bit more this coming week so I can actually have a little bit more of my own active thoughts on the event and not just what I've seen and heard. And then I do want to take a little bit of time to end the show and talk about another game that I have been playing. Playing and enjoying. That's called Balatro. And Balatro is a roguelike deck building game. But it's also like poker themed. And over the last few years, especially since like Returnal, I've started to kind of enjoy roguelikes a bit more. I know Returnal's only on PS5, but it's a fun game, and it's, well, I do think that it is kind of niche because, you know, poker. But so the main gist of it is you start on ante 1 and you just have like a base deck, and there's 3 different levels that you have to beat, but you can skip the first 2 and go right to the boss. And the boss one is called the boss blind. And the boss blind is almost always going to be the hardest one because it will have like modifiers on it. One of the ones being like heart cards are debuffed, or every time you play a poker hand, it takes it down one level. So it's unless you're skipping for good rewards, which can be really good if you skip. There's some that if you skip, it'll give you money so that you can have money to spend on cards in the shop between rounds when you play rounds out. And when you get to the shop, there are a variety of cards that you have the choice of buying, or like packs to buy. The main ones that you're going to be looking for are Joker cards. And Joker cards, depending on like what shows up or what you have money for to buy, can really dictate how your round is going to play out, like how that session itself is going to go. Like, 3 of a kind gives you plus 12 mult, or something that will add chips to your current played hand if you have a 3 of a kind, stuff like that. And that kind of stuff needs to be explained a little bit more too, where like if you play a 3 of a kind, I can't remember what the base is. We'll just go with like 30 chips if you play the hand times a multiplier of 3. And then say you're playing threes. We'll just run with threes. If you run 3 threes on that, it'll give you 39 chips, because the threes, the value of the card is whatever, like the 3 is worth 3 chips per card that are scored, times that multiplier of 3. So if you were to do that, 39 times 3, and my brain isn't working right now, so I'm just 117. Like, it's going to be a bad hand. And like the first hand that you play, or the first round, if you don't skip anything, so you can go, you know, try and earn money and get to a shop, you have to earn a score of 300 points. So 117 would be your first hand, let's just say. And then you play different hands, and I guess that's really kind of the main basis of the whole thing. And in the shop, so you have the jokers, you have tarot cards, which can do a variety of things also. Like there's one where you can double your money, and that can be really helpful if you need money or if you have a lot of money. You can have it so you can change 3 of 3 selected cards into heart cards or spade cards. You can have one where you can choose 2 cards and delete them, like delete them from your deck. You can create copies of cards, so that when you have an idea of what you're wanting to play as far as like a build or whatever for this run that you're on, you'd want to try and, like, say you're just going for 3 of a kind and you have a bunch of 3s. You want to just keep trying to make copies of 3s in your deck so that it's easier for you to pull 3 of a kind, 4 of a kind, 5 of a kind, whatever you're trying to run. And then there are planet cards, which are what you want to have and find to upgrade a certain hand. So, I'm running with 3 of a kind, I'm pretty sure the planet card is Venus. And when you use it, you upgrade from level 1 to 2, and I think it adds 20 chips and 2 mult. So it goes, say, from 30, 30 chips times a multiplier of 3 to 50 chips times a multiplier of 5. And you can just keep building and building and building that. I feel like I'm doing a horrible job explaining this. And you just want to keep trying to build up whatever you're trying to play so that you can make it further and further into the game. And there are, like, negative Joker cards, which could be the same thing. Like, so it's just running 3 of a kind. You could get a Joker that's 3 of a kind, will add 12 mult to your hand. And it's a negative Joker, which means it basically is a free Joker in your Joker slots. You can hold up to 5, but if every negative Joker you find, you can have, you know, 6 Jokers, 7 Jokers, 8 Jokers. And you want to try and find a combination of things that builds up. Like, if you have anything that's building up chips, you want that on the left side because you want the chips and stuff to trigger first. And then you want anything that adds to your mult in the middle or on the left side. And on the right side, you want anything that's going to have a multiplier. I think there's one for 3 of a kind, but if your hand has a 3 of a kind, it's a x3 multiplier. So you want to try and find these jokers so that you can scale your build to go as long as you possibly can. And every round after you defeat the boss wind in each round, through the first 8 antes is like the first, if you defeat ante 8, that is basically winning the game. Like, you win the game. And if you want, you can go into endless mode, which scales up super, super high, super fast. So it's hard to get certain distances and runs after you start endless, because say on ante 8, your boss blind is like 7.2 million is what you need to score of. When you start endless mode, that could literally boost up to like 300 million. Like, it, the way that it scales is kind of insane. I have only had a couple of runs that I've actually fully gotten to ante 8 1 and gone to endless mode. And I've maybe made it past ante 9. I haven't made it further than that. I don't know the furthest anybody has actually gotten as far as like what ante they're on. But I know, like, I personally have seen hands from a streamer YouTuber called Northern Lion, who is great, by the way. I would highly recommend checking out if you're not as much into streams, at least his YouTube videos, they're great. He's really funny. He's really, really talkative. And he also is able to provide, like, kind of an insight into his mind of how he is choosing to play a certain run. But like, I've seen him get hands that have point values of like 2 billion on a single hand. So when you're able to get your jokers to work and you have your deck built up in a way that plays into that so well, you can scale it so high. And I think the highest point value I've ever seen, which I actually saw from him, was like 4.150 E to like 17. I can't remember if that's actually what it is, but like it was nuts. Which I would have to assume is like actually the highest score you can get on a single hand or just in general. But I've seen him get far enough where, like, even the blinds, the ante, like, if you're choosing the first blind of the 3 and you're not skipping, it could be, like, 1 E to, like, 12 or something like that. Which I don't... It's honestly nuts, and it does require some good math skills, for one. And just ability to kind of know how to build a deck and how to organize your jokers in a way that you're maximizing your point values. And I think there's like 150 Jokers that you can find in the game. There's 5 or 6 legendary Jokers, which I have only seen one, and I don't think I made it past the next hand to really utilize it. I can't remember what it does. Like, there's a legendary Joker that will negate all boss blind modifiers. So, like, the one of where heart cards are debuffed. Say you're playing a flush build, and you're focusing on hearts, and you have this legendary Joker, and it negates that. So if you come up to a boss blind where it says all heart cards are debuffed, it gets rid of that, and you can play whatever cards you want. And, like, the depth on it is honestly really wild, because there might be, like, 15 different kinds of decks you can play that also have their own modifiers. Like, the starter deck is a red deck, and I think it gives you an extra discard per round. So that would give you 4 hands that you can play and 4 discards you can play. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I feel like I'm doing a horrible job explaining this. I've really enjoyed the game. But I do really recommend, if you have any interest in roguelikes, or if you've heard about this game and you're on the fence about it, look up some streams. I know Datto plays it. More as like an end of the day kind of a thing, which I don't think is... I think that's a good way to end, like, a gaming session, honestly, is to go in and do something like this, because it's not super intense. It's pretty chill. And it's fun. And, like I said, Northern Lion, he is amazing. He's hilarious. And it's interesting to see how he plays certain builds, and how, like, builds can come into, like, how you build into them. It's pretty wild. But I apologize for my absolutely horrible explanation of that. That's the kind of thing where I feel like my brain doesn't work in terms of being able to fully remember things and explain them to people that don't know what a game is. I feel like a lot of people have a pretty basic understanding of roguelikes, though. And this is I think it's a really good one. And I think it was like $15. And it might actually be, let me check. Outro. Platforms. So it's on Steam. Oh, it's everywhere. It's on PlayStation, Switch, Steam, PC, and Xbox. Not expensive. Not really confusing to get into either. And if you have any interest in, like, poker or, like, deck building at all, which, I'll be honest, I have never played anything that has been deck building, and I've been good at it. So it also makes me feel a little bit better about my ability to do stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun. And I think I'm going to end it there, because I am absolutely talking myself in circles and feel like I'm just making it more and more confusing. Baltro is a lot of fun. I hope that anybody that has been playing the Guardian Games has enjoyed their time thus far. And that you're able to get that skimmer, the permanent one, so you can keep it. I'm glad that the barrier to entry for that is not super high. It's basically just play the event and bank medals. So if you're not getting a high score, as long as you bank enough medals, you're going to be able to get it and keep it in your inventory. And then I don't know when it's going to come out, because it's not in the store right now. There's going to be another one that is based on, like, the look of it is supposed to be kind of like the Gjallarhorn, which I'm assuming is going to only be for real money. So if you don't want to do this and you're okay spending some, like, actual dollars, there's another one that you can get, but I don't mind an event that is play the game, and it's adds a little bit of competition between classes, which should be friendly. I know there's some people that take it way over the top, but that's the nature of gamers, I guess. It's always going to be a little bit worse. but yeah. So thanks for listening. I hope that my solo recordings have not been too unbearable to listen to. I know the Balatro thing is probably going to be hard to listen to. yeah, thanks for listening. It does sound like Outrider may be back next week. We'll be playing that by ear, and if he's not, then I'll just... we'll see what there is to talk about. I don't know what the TWAB is going to look like this coming week, or what, if anything, is going to change in the event, but we'll find something to talk about next week and go from there. So thanks for listening. If you find yourself listening to the podcast and you're coming back, feel free to drop us a like or a follow on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it does go out to a lot of different platforms. And as far as I'm understanding, if you listen on Spotify, there is also still a poll every week. So feel free to answer that. And like I mentioned last week, if you have anything you want to offer your own thoughts on or provide feedback for the podcast in general, or if you just want to interact with us and have us bring stuff up on the show, you can follow us on Twitter at @podcast_hidden. That is always an option. And I think that's it. So yeah, thanks for listening. Have a great week. Enjoy whatever you're gaming, whether it be Destiny or whatever. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Okay, bye.